He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It is the Wednesday, March 11th, Split Decision Day on the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And we've got the NASDAQ, the split decision definitely favoring the NASDAQ and the tech right now. The NASDAQ's up 133. 60 basis points to 22,830. It's being helped along by Oracle, which had a very good report last night. At the same time, we've got the Dow down 131 points, or 30 basis points right now. The S&P 500 is cutting it right about the middle there. It's up 17 points to 6,798. Over at the small cap index, the Russell 2000, it's down 78 basis points. Oil. Hey, oil was $104 on Sunday. Monday, actually, I think it hit the high. And I said, you know, that's the top. Well, it's come down quite a bit. Oil is now sitting at $85.16.
Been all over the place today. Yes. Even it was up 5% when I started the morning, and now it's only up 1%.
Yeah, it just made no sense being at 105. Right. Gold is down 1.2. Silver's down 4.7. They've really cooled off. And our friends over at Bitcoin, they're trading those cryptocurrencies like crazy. It's up 386 to 70,412. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And, you know, Barry, actually worldwide, I get requests for the newsletter from Ireland, from countries in Central Europe,
Azerbaijan,
Australia.
I think I saw that one recently. Azerbaijan,
yes,
if I said
all
that
over.
Right.
We've got to open up a little branch that can handle international accounts, maybe Interactive Brokers or something like that. But we do get a lot of activity from around the world from the podcast. Well, the market was pretty flat yesterday, but it did what I said it was going to do. I said this rise in oil is not sustainable. It's a parabolic move. The word of the day on Monday for the show was parabolic. Parabolic doesn't last. It's got too much helium underneath it, and that helium, it's like that balloon you get at Target, you know, about 2 weeks later, right, where it's just barely above the ground, you know. And the cats are messing with it and ready to pop it. And it just doesn't last. A parabolic move just does not last. And, of course, you've come down from 104 to 84. That's $20 per barrel in just 3 days. And now there's all kinds of pressure on oil prices. We'll get to that in a bit because around the world they're doing things to bring oil prices down and to keep them low so that Iran can't create their own little oil embargo, which, you know, they just don't have the firepower to do that anymore. So anyways, oil is dropping. Middle East tensions stay in focus. When is it going to be over? Nobody really knows, but I don't see it being a long, endless war like Afghanistan, like Iraq. I don't see that myself. And in the meantime, we take it a day at a time. Now, the big financial news today, the CPI, which I think the market was expecting it to come in hot today with the rise in oil prices. Instead, it came in at 2.4%, which is pretty moderate. And it is over the Fed target of 2%. But obviously, when you look at the NASDAQ and what it's doing today, the market doesn't seem to be too worried about inflation right now with the 2.4% print.
Did you see some of the items that are year over year that have
highlight
that
some
were
of those? Highlight some of those for yeah, the folks.
So instant coffee up 27% year
what
over year.
What the heck?
Coffee overall was up 18.4%.
18%.
And then roasted coffee, I guess it's all coffee. Roasted coffee was, we're a caffeinated society, I guess. Roasted coffee was up almost 17%. Here's something we both like. Uncooked beef steaks. Up 16%.
Oh, my gosh.
Lettuce.
That's ridiculous.
Up, lettuce. At least you can grow your own, Bill. Lettuce yes. up 15%. The decliners were eggs, down 42%.
Wow.
Smartphones, down almost 14%. Consumer, whatever consumer info items are, down 12%. Butter down 7, and admission to sporting events down almost 7%.
I think airline tickets are up 7 or something like
probably,
that.
Probably, yeah. But they've been on the rise for a while now.
I have not been on a flight lately that wasn't a full flight, and if you want to check your bags, make sure you check your bags because we're running out of overhead space.
Oh, yeah. Remember they threw my They made me, instead of letting me put my suits in the closet, they checked it, and literally, I thought it was going to be a gate check when I got off. They were going to hand me my suit. No, they sent it to the other plane. It came back. You couldn't even recognize the suit bag. I got a little claim in with American Airlines
yeah.
right now, but it came out, and I was like, well, that's not going to work. Came with holes in the bag. It was burnt. I mean, it was all kind of crazy.
Jeez. Yeah, you know, well, yeah, we do a lot of flying these days, yeah. and we get around, and but the airline prices were definitely up. So CPI overall, it wasn't quite a draw. It was up 2.4% year over year, which is pretty moderate. If it was a bad print, you'd be seeing the NASDAQ sell off and interest rates spiking. You're not seeing that at all.
And everything came in consensus in terms of what they were expecting, which you know, you would have thought that we might have a surprise to the upside, just given, you know, kind of the nature of things over the last, you know, a couple of months. But yeah, it came in line, and you know, nothing really to scare the market, particularly on the bond side today.
Yes, and you know, the other thing on these oil prices, the reason I believe so strongly on Monday that was unsustainable, that $104 print on oil, is I said there's a lot of levers that can be twisted and turned and manipulated to bring oil prices down. And here's a big shoe dropping today. Japan, Germany to take the lead on releasing oil from the reserves. I guess all countries, many countries have reserves, not just the U.S.
Well, in the international, Energy Agency, or I guess IEA, announced they're going to release, I guess, 300 to 400 million barrels of oil, I believe, which is, you know, the biggest, obviously, release ever. And it was interesting. It was actually designed for this very deal back in the 70s. So,
yeah, I think the bottom line is Iran does not have the leverage over the world and holding us hostage in more ways than one that they had back in the 70s, which I remember. And by the way, it was the late Ayatollah Khomeini who was around then leading the charge. He's gone. And the leverage by Iran over the rest of the world and cutting off oil supplies, I think they've lost that leverage. The Straits of Hormuz are still kind of up for grabs. I'm not sure there's a solution there yet.
We blew up a handful of mine ships. So they had these mine laying ships that were in the process of laying mines, and I think we took out, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 of them. Apparently,
I would not want to be the captain of that ship that's laying mines in the Straits of Hormuz, and maybe trolling a fishing line while you're out there. I don't know what they catch out there, but maybe some barracuda or something. I don't think they're going to get away with that, and so now Japan, of course, you know, that was a big factor in World War II. They depend, 95% of their oil comes from the Middle East. They're going to release, even though they have tight supplies and depend on the Middle East, 1 month's worth of strategic oil reserves. That's nice of Japan to do that. And 15 days' worth of private sector reserves. Rather than wait for the formal IEA approval of a coordinated international reserve release, Japan will act first to ease global energy market supply and demand. And Germany, which also has tight supplies, will release part of its oil reserves after the International Energy Agency recommended the release of 400 million barrels of oil from stockpiles. I think the national price is up around $3.60 right now. It went above $3 for the first time a few weeks ago when this all began. So anyways, like I say, there's a lot of levers that can be twisted, and this is just one of them. And this proposal is intended to counter the massive disruption caused by the near total closure of the Straits of Hormuz. Maybe we should just make a new canal that goes around the Straits of Hormuz, where 20% of the world's oil supply moves. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Shell and Total Energies, which is French, Shell is Dutch, declare force majeure on LNG contracts from Qatar. Well, force majeure means, hey, there's circumstances beyond our control where we're not able to deliver what we have promised. And this is all about the largest LNG plant in the world is in Qatar. And several companies that buy liquefied natural gas. So Qatar is the facility that converts the gas into liquid. It's the largest one in the world. And it is completely shut down. So that's where the real squeeze is, it seems like, right now, is liquid natural gas, LNG.
And other things I heard, you know, fertilizer, for example. I mean, there's a lot of different, you mentioned last week where some of the different chemicals that are used in, you know, making chips and other things, right? You mentioned what 20% of the world's oil goes through there, and a lot of other commodities. So it's something that got to get reopened soon in some form or fashion.
And I think it will be. I don't think that Iran has the firepower to repel the whole world against them right now. Qatar Energy shut production last week as its massive Ras Laffan LNG plant, the largest single plant in the world, following a drone attack on the facility. Now, this is another dynamic. Qatar and Iran used to be pretty friendly with one another. Qatar is the producer of the newspaper Al Jazeera, and they were pretty much anti-U.S. and pro-Iranian, but you've seen a big shift there here recently, even so far as where Iran is now attacking Qatar and shutting down that big LNG plant. So the LNG stocks, the one I always look to as a bellwether, has the symbol LNG.
Easy enough, right?
Yes, and it looks pretty perky right now. Cheniere Energy, LNG, which is headquartered down in the Houston area, where we just came from, had a great time. Cheniere has been breaking out. Those new all-time highs for Cheniere? Almost new all-time highs. That's a $52 billion company. I would say that is the number one LNG stock to own if you're bullish on LNG, liquid natural gas. Now, of course, an extended Gulf shutdown could trigger prolonged oil price shock, says John Kilduff, again, Capital's founding partner. I don't see a prolonged Gulf shutdown. Like I say, I don't think that Iran has the firepower, and it's dwindling daily. If you just look at the amount of missiles that they've been firing, it goes down to almost nothing since the start of this thing. But good old CNBC, they always bring some guy out that's going to talk about a long, drawn-out war and what it's going to do to oil prices and blah, blah, blah. Storage capacity has emerged as a critical concern, with J.P. Morgan indicating that Gulf producers could exhaust their storage and be forced into complete shutdowns if the current situation extends beyond 3 weeks. Well, okay, so there is risk there, obviously, but I'm looking at the price of oil right now, and it's come down from $104 to $84, $20 per barrel. U.S. gasoline prices rise to $3.58, $3.58 as Iran tensions lift the oil markets. But, you know, I'm not seeing any kind of a rally in the oil stocks themselves, which also suggests that, you know, they see investors aren't seeing a big rise in earnings down the road from these companies. Otherwise, the stocks would be moving higher.
And oil is almost untradeable. I mean, the way that it's, the volatility it's had, I mean, it's one of these things where, you know, you could short it or buy it, and you have no idea which way it's going to go for in the short term. I mean, it just depends on a tweet, or depends on, you know, at potential action by Iran or what, right? It's a rough.
It almost seems so right that the pendulum has shifted and now there's downwards pressure mm-hmm. on oil prices right. as opposed to upwards pressure, unless something new happens. Now, here's another thing that has happened under Trump's administration. We have not built a new oil refinery in 50 years. He announced that the U.S. will build its first new oil refinery in Brownsville, Texas. With investment from India's Reliance industry, Trump called it a historic $300 billion deal, the biggest in U.S. history, in a post on Truth Social. Now, I haven't heard of this company that is building it. It sounds to me like it's a private company. The project is led by America First Refining, aims to produce 168,000 barrels per day of U.S. shale oil, with work potentially beginning as early as Q2 2026. That's in 3 weeks. So work on that. And, of course, there's a lot of infrastructure there that has to be built. Now you're looking at a company like PWR, Quanta, that would probably have some of the, you know, the infrastructure. Quanta looks like it wants to break out. It's up 1.5% today. That's a big Houston infrastructure. You know, I was surprised when we were in Houston, we quizzed a lot of people that we met with. Do you know about Quanta? That's an $85 billion dollar company right there in the Houston area. And none of them had heard of it. Oh, they all knew about Halliburton and Schlumberger and Baker Hughes, etc. But when we mentioned Quanta, which I think is probably the best energy service company stock, nobody had heard of it. Look it up on the app. Go to beststocksnowapp.com. Look at the track record of Quanta over the last 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 years. That's where I begin. When I teach the workshop, I say I always look at the track record first, and then number two, look at the forward valuation. Look at the last 5 years, and then look at the next 5 years, and that's where that valuation comes in. And then lastly, look at a chart. ABC, 1, 2, 3. It's easy. Those are the three factors that determine and eliminate 90% of the market. That makes things a lot easier for me as a money manager. So, yeah, you know, there's always been a lot of complaining about, well, you know what, and the oil companies themselves, they complain about not having enough refinery capacity. And I know they've shut down several in California, but Texas, Brownsville, Texas, aptly named, I guess. I'd hope the sky doesn't turn brown down there from those fumes and whatnot from the refinery. But anyways, the first refinery in 50 years being built in Brownsville, Texas. We'll be right back. I've been on the right trail, but I must do the wrong call.
hit us in a bad place, and I wonder what it's good for.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the tech sector has really picked up since the market opened. We've got CoreWeave up 10.2% right now. That is a company that is pretty closely linked to NVIDIA. We've got Power Solutions, PSIX, up 5.8%. The rare earth stocks did really well yesterday. One of them, Ramaco, METC, is up 5.8% today. Astera Labs is up 5.7%. Astera is another one that is linked to AI infrastructure. American Resources, which is another rare earth stock, it's up 3.7% right now. UUUU is up 3.6%. Micron's up 3.6%. Argan up 3.5%. That's an AI infrastructure stock. Tesla all of a sudden's got a little lift under it. It's up 3.4%. That IPO of SpaceX, Tesla does own some SpaceX, so I guess it could help. SanDisk is up 2.6%. Taiwan is up 2.5%. USA Rare Earth up 2.3%. So you got a pretty good rally taking place in Rare Earth and in AI, let's call it, here today. You had this stupid theory and hypothesis that rising oil prices were going to kill the chip industry. Another ridiculous hypothesis by Wall Street that I think was wrong. And it's proving to be wrong, as those stocks are recovering quite a bit right now. And that memory situation, it still persists. And there is news on that today. I'll get to that in a bit. Chevron and Shell, here's another lever on oil, rising oil prices. Shell and Chevron are very close to the first big oil production deals in Venezuela. Oh, we forgot all about Venezuela. Maybe that was part of the grand plan, was to get Venezuela first. Get Maduro out of there, get access for the world to those rich events. They have the number one oil deposits in the world, Venezuela. And now there's access to that. And then the second punch was Iran in the gut, taking out the Ayatollah there. And now you've got, maybe they can't play games with their oil like they have in the past. So anyways, a couple big companies getting ready to start producing and ramping up production in Venezuela, which is missing Maduro these days. I didn't know that Boeing builds bombs, but they do. Boeing secures a $289 million deal to supply Israel with up to 5,000 smart bombs.
Huh. Okay, I don't believe I realized they actually made.
I hope they don't build them around our airport here in South Carolina and blow the whole thing up. The smithereens. I don't know where they build these bombs. The weapons are Boeing's small diameter bomb, a guided munition designed to strike targets more than 40 miles away when deployed from fighter aircraft. Well, we've certainly seen plenty of the grainy film of all of a sudden a target identified and the bomb going off, and all of a sudden you see guys running on the ground, and boom, you know, it implodes.
Yeah, you see the thing come right, you know, come straight down from, you know, it's like that, you know, it's the perfect angle. It looks like it's just going straight down, and then obviously the screen goes, you know, goes blank, right?
Yep, nothing left. Smithereens. The sources say it's not tied to the current war. In fact, deliveries aren't expected to begin for roughly 3 years. I would just say Boeing's got a pretty robust backlog right now.
Yeah.
Okay, and this kind of flies under the radar right now, but it's still a big problem that is brewing. J.P. Morgan, you have Jamie Dimon saying, yeah, they've gotten a little loose in lending in the private credit markets, and we found out that J.P. Morgan's the number one lender, the number one holder of private credit. J.P. Morgan tightens private credit, and they've marked down the value of certain loans held by private credit groups, and it is tightening its lending to the sector. Well, is the cat out of the bag? Is the horse out of the barn? Is it too late? I think so. The Financial Times reported on Wednesday. The move limits how much the bank lends to private credit groups against those loans going forward. The devalued loans are to software companies. Here again, here's that perfect storm. You've got the software companies under pressure from a stock price. And that's going to hurt their whole operations and their profit margins and whatnot. And J.P. Morgan is writing down, not writing them off, but they're marking down the value. The only way you would do that to a pool of loans is by upping the default, your predicted default number, right?
Yeah, your default rate is rising. Yeah, exactly.
So anyways, this sector has been under scrutiny in recent weeks. Chief Executive Officer Jamie Dimon told investors at the bank's leveraged finance conference last week that it's being more prudent. Well, you know, maybe you should have been more prudent before in lending against software assets. One person familiar said the move was made preemptively to reduce the amount of credit available to the fund. So software companies are going to see their, you know, the money being thrown at them start to dry up. Private credit executives say they hadn't seen other banks take a similar view. Well, I think it's just a matter of time. And I see some even upping the ante. Apollo, BlackRock. But there's a problem brewing there, and this Blue Owl, they permanently restricted withdrawals from a $1.6 billion private credit vehicle. And Ares Capital, ARCC, is making its first, they're expanding into Asia with their private credit vehicle or investment.
Vehicle.
No thanks.
Yeah, what is that?
They're bringing the Asian flu.
Yeah.
They're planning their first local currency private credit fund in Asia, and it's going to start in Thailand. That's where they have the really hot peppers. That's how I look at this private credit. The proposed fund targets performing credit for high-quality Thai corporations. Oh, okay. Let's invest in private credit to Thailand, to raise capital mainly from local insurance firms earning Thai-bought revenues. No thanks. Okay, we have a few companies reporting. Is there anything important? Not really tonight. Last night we had Oracle yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm going to get to that. And Adobe is tomorrow, and I would not expect much out of Adobe.
Yeah, now, a lot of those software names, the whole key to them, you know, is really been them partnering either with OpenAI, Anthropic, or, you know, one of the other AI players. That's the, you know, because they've, as you've mentioned for a while now, they've been hit pretty hard, and the only ones that have even kind of gotten any bounce are the ones that have announce some kind of partnership with one of these AI firms to make them not obsolete.
Yes, 100%. And they've been getting loans from companies like JP Morgan, which is just packaging investors' money. Really, at the bottom of the pyramid chain is the investors, the individual investors, giving J.P. Morgan money. J.P. Morgan then creates some kind of a limited partnership, and then they go out and lend the money. They're just the middleman. They make all the money. They sell off the private credit, so they don't have the risk. The ones with all the risk are the people that invested originally, and the people who end up owning the private credit. Where the middlemen, they make out just fine. Another issue that has not resolved itself is this high bandwidth memory, HBM. AMD CEO Dr. Lisa Su is set to meet Samsung's chairman, Jay Lee, in South Korea next week in an attempt to secure highly sought after high bandwidth memory for the use in artificial intelligence chips. So she is over there on behalf of AMD trying to secure and speed up the production, but you've still got Micron, SanDisk, SK Hynix, and Samsung as the four major players in that area, and supplies remain very, very, very tight. We'll be right back.
Golden cage on a winter's day. You gotta go where you wanna go. Do what you wanna do.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Wedbush's Dan Ives calls the software sell-off the most disconnected trade in two decades. In other words, he doesn't think it was warranted. They got hit really hard. And I would just have to say, Barry, it depends on what software stock are you talking about.
Right, and it's the unknown. I mean, the problem is not necessarily that there's something going to happen to them today, right? It's are they going to lose some of their margin or lose their place in the industry, say 3 years from now or what have you? And that uncertainty is kind of what he's alluding to, that it's just that they kind of created an overselling environment could turn out that was the right thing to do. We just may not know for a handful of years, right?
Well, I see a lot of slowing growth. I mean, take Adobe for instance, which is $112 billion. I think AI is a big threat to Adobe because you can do photo enhancement and video enhancement and all kinds of things using AI.
I've seen people make a logo recently where type a few things into ChatGPT or pick your favorite chat bot, and then it'll spit out a pretty decent looking logo.
And that is totally reflected in the chart of Adobe, which is dead in the water as far as I'm concerned. Okay, and then you take another one. Like Palantir, that one's not so easy to just say AI, do this and do that. Palantir continues to be the strongest and best stock in the software sector. I would not own the IGV, which is the ETF that owns all or most of the software, most of the major software stocks. I don't think it's a very good sector. We look at CRM, which used to be kind of the bellwether. Salesforce, its growth has slowed down considerably. And there's another stock chart that looks just dead in the water right now. I would have no interest whatsoever in Salesforce. Which brings me to Oracle. Okay, Oracle's getting a little boost today. Oracle's up 12%. But I don't know. I don't think Oracle, that's another chart that looks dead in the water. To me, it is a $480 billion company. Oracle has been around throughout this whole entire technological revolution. When I got into the business in the late 90s, Oracle was a major player, one of the hottest stocks in the entire market, and it's remained pretty, relevant throughout, but, I just don't know that it has the firepower. Over the last 5 years, they've been growing by 8% per year. Ellison is in his 80s, I want to say, as far as his age goes.
Yeah.
And even though it is up 12.2% today and giving the NASDAQ a boost here today, I'm not a fan of Oracle stock. And then you look at CrowdStrike, CRWD. That's probably the second best. It's behaving okay. It's not like I'm chomping at the bit to get back into CrowdStrike. And then you get into the the security stocks like Palo Alto. I don't see much there with Palo Alto, PANW, and then some of the other cyber security. Let's just look at one more, Zscaler, ZS. That is horrible looking chart. So I'm not with Dan Ives on that software sector at all. There's just a couple there that I am currently favorable on. Now, here's one that could be linked to this memory shortage. Applied Materials announced a second partnership on Tuesday to research and develop artificial intelligence memory solutions, this time with South Korean memory maker SK Hynix, which we've talked about a lot. It's one of the big four. So not only is Lisa Su headed over there to try to secure some memory, HBM, you've got Applied Materials also forming a partnership with SK Hynix to help out. And one of the biggest hurdles in AI progress is the growing disconnect between memory speeds and the advance in processors. And so that's another one. And Applied Materials, there's another one. They've been around ever since I've been in the business.
Right.
Yeah. They've been a maker. They have a very well-known. He was quoted all the time. I know his last name was Morgan. I think it might have been Dan Morgan. Applied Materials is a pretty perky stock these days. AMAT, because they make that all-important equipment for making the chips, and they're going to team up here with SK Hynix to try to get memory caught up with the NVIDIA chips. Okay, there's a little disconnect there. So we like Applied Materials, AMAT, at the current time. And who knows, maybe you'll see an article out on AMAT here in the near future. I'm working on two right now that I got to get finished into finished form to that's the trick, is getting them to that finished.
They're in the pipeline.
Yeah, format.
Got to make it past the editor, right, Bill?
Acceptable to Seeking Alpha, but they're very, very close to being ready for submittal and hopefully publishing soon. Amazon Zooks and Uber will robo-taxi partner in Vegas. Those are cute little cars. I'm going to put that in the newsletter this week, those little Amazon cars. The only thing I don't like is they seal you up in there. It closes up, and it's like you can't get out. There's no windows, nothing.
Oh,
I don't know if I like that. That looks a little claustrophobic to me. Nibia surges after NVIDIA plans a $2 billion investment under a collaboration. We've mentioned Nibia's before, NBIS. They are a player. We saw them when we were out there in the Silicon Valley. That's a really nice move on Nibia's. That's a Dutch company. Which is another hotbed, with the ASM lithography and Nebius Group over there. That's a good little AI infrastructure stock at $27 billion. We're out of time. To get a four-week trial to the newsletter, the portfolios, they're doing very well this year. They're off to an excellent start. And all the messages I send out to throughout the day that try to keep a logical point of view, a cool head, and where the action is, go to GundersonCapital.com. to set up an appointment with us to talk to us about running and managing your portfolios. We've got 5 different flavors. We don't have 31 flavors like Baskin and Robbins. We have 5 different flavors, from very mild to a little bit on the peppy side. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.